Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. It's 022222. Well, as you know, I usually open up with a scripture, and I will do that because today's edition of Mark and Friends, I'm going to go back to an interview I had on January 28th of 2015, a little over 7 years ago, as the topic discussed during that interview will segue well into a prayer that I have for our Ministry Leaders Network that'll be meeting in about a week and a half. And so as I was on calls yesterday to Dave Krabiel, Don Erickson, then Bill Erickson, and various correspondents in a call to Mike Krosta, I think we have a plan for our March 3rd gathering of the Ministry Leaders Network, and that's a gathering that Great News Media hosts for area pastors and ministry leaders. And so an email that'll go out today to these leaders is a little summary of our purpose and plans for the future, along with our proposed upcoming schedule, and then I close out with a couple paragraphs that say, for the March 3rd gathering, we'll discuss and pray up what God may be up to locally. We'll talk through, one, is there some purpose of God in our area that would claim the involvement of all the churches in order for it to be accomplished? And two, might God call us to do something special for internationals? As you may know, Urbana Missionary Conferences, hosting 18,000-plus students from all over the world, were held here from 1948 to 2003. We desire the Ministry Leaders Network to not only be a safe haven for discussion, friendship, networking, and growth, but also a place to spur one another to action. May this March gathering be a catalyst to sense God's leading. All to say, listening friend, you can hear my interview from 7 years ago with Rich Mendola. He's the Executive Director of International Friendships Incorporated, and he's going to share some unique and very simple ways to reach internationals. You'll also hear some mentions of him putting on a special workshop seminar on Saturday, and so I edited out some of the specifics, but I wanted to keep most all the content and the interview, so recognize there is no gathering this Saturday, but I think you'll be blessed by what's said and shared. Reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Oh, listening friend, you're in for a real treat, for on today's edition of Mark and Friends, we have a special guest on the line. We've prayed up the program, and I'll introduce him in just a moment. And it's a great time to get trained on how to effectively reach international students. As you know, that's a close subject to my own heart, as I've seen God use activities and going out to eat or conversational English class or some of the internationals that have been involved in the Alpha Outreach Program or in different ways of befriending them, I've seen God at work. And so we have an expert coming to town. I don't know if you'd call yourself an expert, Rich, but you've been doing this for 30 or 40 years. On the line with me is Rich Mendola. He's the Executive Director of International Friendships. What do you hope to convey to our listeners, and how did God get you to where you're at as the Executive Director of International Friendships?
Let me tell you that there's many organizations that God has raised up to express his heart and compassion to internationals, and IFI, International Friendships, is one of those. We're here in Columbus, Ohio. We started in 1979 and have continued these years to mobilize Christians to practice biblical hospitality with strangers that have come here from other countries in the form of international students. I myself got involved when I was interested in learning about what God was doing among the nations. And I had gone to a missions conference and there learned that there were many people who did not have access to a Christian or to a Bible or to hear the good news about Jesus. And my response to that was, wow, I really want to be involved in this. This is on God's heart. This is his plan. But I couldn't leave the United States because of an obligation that my wife had to the U.S. government. So I was wondering, how can I be involved in this if I can't leave the U.S.? What way could I engage besides praying and giving money? And then I came in contact with a group that was serving international students, and the light went on. It was like, wow, missions is people, not geography. God has brought the nations to us in the form of international students, and we have a great opportunity, Christians in America, to bless many nations as a result of these students that are here. So that's how I got involved, and once I got involved, I've kept doing it, and I've been blessed over the years to see God work in amazing ways.
Now, did you grow up in an environment like a big city where there were international students? How did you get this heart for them and reaching out to them?
I grew up in Buffalo, New York. I'm the third generation of immigrants from Italy. So, you know, there's a connection there that just as international students are here now, my grandparents came here looking for a better way of life. And, you know, it wasn't until I found Christ that I realized that was the better way of life that they were looking for, ultimately. Well, I became a Christian in high school. And after I became a Christian, I was very devoted to the Lord and to sharing the gospel, but I did not see international people around me. Even after I went to college and I was, you know, active in college in a Christian fellowship group, internationals, although they were at that college, I was oblivious to them. I had no eyesight to see them. And I think that this is something now that we have to realize, that Jesus told his followers to lift up their eyes and see the harvest that God had prepared, that, you know, with increasing numbers of internationals coming to the cities of America, and in Champaign-Urbana, it's amazing that there are over 10,000 international mm-hmm. students that have come. So it's hard not to see them now, but how we see them, whether we see them with love and whether we see them as people that God has sent, that requires us to get God's perspective and to see that this is something God is doing. So I didn't catch the vision until I went to that missions conference and then realized something that I'd missed in the Word of God, that God not only loved the nations, but they had a plan that he's working out. And part of that plan was to send people away from home to the place where God's people were, so that right where they were, they could influence nations.
I'm thinking of that one story, or that healing that Jesus does to the blind man, where I can't remember if he put something onto his eyes, and then the individual that was blind recounts that I see like trees or people where he didn't see clearly yet. And it reminds me of like where, you know, you knew the love of God, you were walking with him, you were a follower of Jesus, but you weren't seeing quite clearly that the faith isn't just for your own kind or for America. It's for all people. And so you began to see clear, like the Lord continued to work on you.
That's right. When we see people like Peter who were there when Jesus gave the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, and who was there at the day of Pentecost and gave a sermon that was to a multicultural audience, and he was there when Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman. And so he had all these experiences, but still you find him in Acts chapter 10 with a bias that doesn't make him free to go to Cornelius' house until he gets a vision from God and understands that God tells him to not call anyone unclean. And when he gets to Cornelius' house, who's a Gentile, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what's right. So if Peter had to struggle to get a hold of this, that tells me that it can be a struggle for us, too, to get to the place where we really not just believe theologically that God loves all nations, but are willing to enter into relationships with people from different cultures and understand that we can bridge that gulf or that separation that often occurs when people are from a different background through the love of Christ.
Realizing that we have a wide range of listeners, and you shared how in high school I think you came to know the Lord. Was it during a service, during a Sunday morning sermon? Was it through a youth group? Who was like influencing you to follow Jesus? Because there might be somebody listening today that's tuning in and thinking, oh, yeah, I like international students, but what's this talk about God and Jesus? I'm unfamiliar with that concept of having a relationship with God. So share a little more details on why you began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and what that meant.
Okay. Well, a significant event happened when I was 13. although I was raised in a religious home that often went to church, when I was 13, my father died, and that created some major questions in my mind. And I realized that I really didn't know what the purpose of life was. And I drifted away from the church, but I was still very eager to ask people about what the purpose of life was. And at that age, a lot of kids were not thinking about that question, and they would just dismiss me. But when I was in high school, one person who heard me asking that question said, you know, you can find the answer to that in the Bible. And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, have you ever read the Bible? I said, no. He said, well, if you're really serious about finding an answer, then you should read the Bible. And so I took his challenge up, and I began to read the Bible, and then I found a group of people that were reading the Bible together, and I went with them. And as we went through the Bible, I felt clearly that God revealed himself to me, and that I understood that Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal God, to reveal the heart of God, and that he did something that I needed, which was he died for my sins. And so coming to that realization, I accepted what he had done for me and made a decision to follow him. That changed the whole course of my life, and it brought great joy and peace to me and eventually led me to the place where I could have a heart to serve internationals.
And that's what you've been doing these past 30 or so years, right?
That's right. Ever since I've got that vision, I've not turned around. I've kept my hand to the plow.
In case you've just tuned in, I have Rich Mendola on the phone with me. He resides in the great state of Ohio. He serves as the executive director of International Friendships. I opened up the program reading Hebrews 13:2, and I had asked you beforehand what's a special verse. Why does that ring your bell?
Well, I think at the heart of serving international students is this practice of hospitality. In fact, many people don't realize it, but the word hospitality, the reason they translate hospitality to strangers is because contained within that word is the concept of not just working with people that are different than yourself, but actually welcoming people who are from another culture. The Greek word there, which corresponds to the Hebrew words, all refer to people that are away from their home. So God has this heart that he wants to convey to his people to welcome them. And the practice of hospitality is what really serves the needs of students. It's what opens the door to their hearts and to their lives. And it's a mutual blessing, because even that verse says that some people, without realizing it, open their lives up to angels, which is, of course, a reference back to Abraham in Genesis 18, where God showed up in his life in an amazing way when he welcomed these three strangers in. But I think the problem in American society, in American life, is because of busyness, and sometimes because of fear and because of individualism, we have lost some of the practice of biblical hospitality. And I think that one of the things God wants to do in this generation in the church, to revitalize it, for us to be alive to God, is to practice again welcoming strangers, welcoming internationals into our lives, so that we see not only God work in their lives, but in our lives as well. And if we do that, then we're going to be a part of God's bigger plan to bless all the nations. But, yeah, hospitality is at the core of international student ministry.
It's really pretty simple, right? I mean, it's befriending them. I know some people, when the international students come on campus, maybe at the beginning of the semester, they show up at the airport and provide just something as simple as a ride. Or do you need help, like I can show you where the grocery stores are, or maneuver, you know, through town, or setting up a bank account? I mean, some of the simple things that we take for granted are huge, and it's a great way to befriend somebody because they're so appreciative.
Yes. That's the thing. When you move from one culture to another, you have so many felt needs. I mean, if any of the listeners have had that experience of going overseas, if they've had someone to meet them and help them, they know how much better that experience is than when you arrive and everything's unfamiliar to you, if you don't know the language as well. You know, there's a lot of challenges that internationals face when they come here. And having a person to be a cultural interpreter, someone to help them in the initial shock that they face when they come here, you know, being able to have a place to stay when they first arrive, have someone to help them improve their English, to learn where some of the places are that they need to go, to be able to understand American customs and habits and colloquialisms and, you know, all those things that are difficulties, when someone helps an international at that point, they are really showing love, and that International is so appreciative. You know, it's the thing that they need at that time. So that's the good thing about this type of ministry, is that everyone has something to offer. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a home, even if you don't have a spare bedroom, you have something to offer. I know some people who host, they give up their own bedroom for a few days just to show the type of welcome that they want to convey that comes from God's heart. If you can speak English, you have something to offer. If you have a car, you know, and students, when they first arrive, they don't have a car, they need furniture, they need to go shopping. You know, you can use what God has given you to serve in so many practical ways the needs of students. But what they want most of all, even though they have these practical needs, what they most of all is want relationships mm-hmm. with people who can care about them. They need people who be like a family away from home for them. They need people who can help them walk through the loneliness and the challenges they face, the frustrations they face, the confusion they face. If they have that type of friend, that is like a treasure for them. And then you have the full opportunity to share your life and speak into their life.
And it's kind of a biblical mandate. We are to love others as Christ has loved us. And like you said, the hospitality, just reaching out in so many simple ways, can have a profound impact. And then as God would orchestrate or be at work in their lives, where they ask some good questions, and you can say, well, this is my faith journey, this is why I follow Jesus, it can be just a part of the conversation. It doesn't even have to be forced, because they'll oftentimes ask, why are you extending such kindness or this friendship, or why are you doing this?
Yes, it is so natural, and it's not forced. And I'll tell you a story here that I think is a great illustration of what we're talking about here. I have a friend from Taiwan. Her name is Taeyu, and Taeyu came to study at The Ohio State University, and when she arrived, she was met at the airport by a family who invited her to stay in their home for a few days before she moved into her residence. And Taeyu came from a very strong Buddhist background. She studied Buddhist philosophy. She was a practicing Buddhist. She had no real interest in Christianity. But this Christian family that invited her in, when they had their first meal, they said, you know, it's our custom to pray and thank God before we eat, and, you know, you're welcome to listen while we do that. And so they joined hands around the table, as was their custom, and they began to pray. Not only did they thank God for the food, but they began to pray for Taeyu. They asked that God would help her in her adjustment to the United States. They'd asked that she would be successful in her studies, that she would be able to make friends, and just began to pray for the things that they knew she would need while she was in the United States. And she told me later that she'd never heard anyone pray like that before. She didn't know you could even talk to God like that. And she was so touched by their concern for her that she said right there in her first day in the United States that she said, I would like to know more about this God that they're praying to. And she followed through on that. After she stayed with them, when she saw their life and saw how much they cared about her, she ended up joining a Bible study group, and she came to know Christ. And today she is serving Jesus in an amazing way. But this ties into what I was saying earlier. Hospitality is a key, but also what you said about the fact that it just becomes very natural, if we're living our lives and sharing them with other people, that those who have an openness will want to know more.
I don't know, Rich, if the listener is like me, but I was almost having to hold back tears. I was getting choked up with that story, thinking, thank you, God, for the commitment of that family to honor God at the dinner table or before that meal, and to pray, to do something that's a very natural thing for most all Christians, is to pray. And yet something like that can reach into someone's heart, and what a special blessing. Well, you're going to be in town this Saturday, and you're going to be putting on a workshop or a seminar to help us all better understand how we can reach the international students in our lives. And there's lots of different ways to connect, whether it's a formal program through the University of Illinois or maybe something. I know some people go into like a Chinese restaurant and just befriend maybe some of the kitchen help, or they might go to a business where it's minority owned and just our regular customers and begin to build that friendship. I know one of my friends, he goes to a gas station. It's Indian-owned, and he's been getting his coffee there for many months, and he strikes up a conversation every time. The guy says, "Why do you always smile?" And he says, "Because I'm a Christian." And so there's lots of ways. In our closing couple minutes, walk us through some of what you want to convey or what the listener can expect if they can show up this Saturday.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to learn a lot more about how to practice biblical hospitality. Could you learn about what are the things that we need to be aware of when we're building cross-cultural relationships? I'm going to talk more about how we can get other people in our churches involved, because it's not an accident that over 10,000 international students are sent to this small place, you know, Champaign, Urbana, only 200,000 people, 10,000 of them international students. God is wanting to say something to the church, and I think one of the things we're going to talk about is how can we mobilize others to get involved in this work, because there needs to be a great number of people that are going to engage in this. So every listener that's there can either themselves be personally involved, they can be praying for it, or they can learn how to help others to know about this special opportunity that God has provided to show hospitality to strangers and be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission through that as well. So on Saturday, we're going to do that. We're going to talk about how to get others involved. We're going to talk about what hospitality looks like. We're going to talk about some of the key ways to help people grow in their faith and get a vision from God. We're going to talk about what types of programs and activities can be jointly together, done through people from different churches and different ministries. We're going to talk about how we can network together. And so this is why it should be exciting for someone to be able to come, because they could see how their little piece could contribute to a much bigger movement that God is raising up in the Twin Cities to impact the nations through working with international students. So I think, you know, in terms of a dynamic thing that you could do, if you're thinking about what can I really do significantly this year to impact, you know, the cause of Christ, one of them would be to be involved with international students. And this seminar on Saturday is really going to help people to see how to do that. So I'm really hopeful that there's going to be many listeners who get engaged in this ministry.
And if God's tugging at your heart, and if he's not, come on, wake up, church, wake up, Great News Radio listener, and be a part of this. I know Holly and I will be there, Dave Krabiel, and many people throughout our area, because this is an important subject, the hospitality, which transcends not only culture. Certainly you can show hospitality to internationals, but your neighbors and people in your community. But let's have a concerted effort to focus on those internationals, the future leaders of countries. They'll return. Sometimes they're ambassadors in the government, and we can influence them and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all happening this Saturday, and let's see how God will use it so we can reach the internationals. Over 10,000 right here in our own backyard. So hopefully you can come out this Saturday, 8:15 to 11:30. Well, Rich, God's very best to you. I'll ask our listeners to be praying you up. You're the Executive Director of International Friendship, so you're doing a great work there at Ohio State University, and we appreciate you carving out time, coming to our area to better equip us so we can reach internationals for God's glory.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I'm really looking forward to it, really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do this weekend.
Well, that was an interview I had a little over 7 years ago from January 28th of 2015 with Rich Mendola. He's the Executive Director of International Friendships Incorporated. And there's not going to be training this Saturday, but I loved so many of the things that was said and shared about reaching internationals in very simple ways through hospitality, through just driving them around or taking them shopping, running errands, helping them set up a bank account, teaching conversational English, or just showing them around a grocery store. Really simple things that we can all do. And this message is kind of a catalyst of what I want to propose to our area pastors and ministry leaders that gather in a couple weeks for our monthly luncheon. And so if you're a pastor or a ministry leader helping to oversee a ministry, contact me and I'll include you in our upcoming luncheon. We meet the first Thursday of every month from noon to 1:15, and our goal is to create a community of pastors and ministry leaders that will encourage, equip, and empower one another. Find out more at ministryleadersnetwork.org. That's ministryleadersnetwork.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.